The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by George Sitari CPA and is responsible for its content.
Mr. Speaker, the George of the United States.
Where the hell do these people come from? Why would you want some guy shaking his junk in your three-year-old daughter's face? What's the matter with you?
Now, listen in to George and his cabinet on Monday Night Roundtable.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Monday Night Roundtable. George Sitari in studio with co-host Steve Krause.
Hey, George. Good evening. Sorry about that technical glitch there.
You're having the sun poke in, the monitor not on, the microphone off, the headset missing, but we're back live. Monday Night Roundtable. Here we are. Hey, Steve, do you know what day it is today?
It is tax day.
It is.
It's the day that get back what the government stole from, borrowed from us. And I saw somebody get like a $3,200 return, and they thought, wow, that's wonderful. And I thought, no, they stole it. They borrowed it and didn't pay you any interest.
Right. So, of course, some of my clients that owed $50,000 or $100,000, they weren't happy either, but they kept the money till the bitter end, and then they paid it in. So, you know what they say, it ain't good this way, and it ain't good that way, but it could be worse. So today is Monday, April 15th. And
that's a good day for you, isn't it? Because tomorrow is George Sitari Vacation Day.
Oh, along with the 200 extensions? No.
Oh.
Including, I think, mine and yours, so I don't know. But, yeah, I always thought they should do the tax filing like they do the driver's licenses or something by birth date. You know, every 12 months you get or every month you get 1/12 of the population filing or something. Or in the old days, I think on the driver's license plate renewal, they used to do, January was A and B, February was C and D. So there's a variety of ways to do it. But let's face it, with extensions, you know, it extends it out to September, October. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's that big of a problem for most people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, you survived it. It's April 15th, and you're still here, and you're in person. So survived it.
People down at the office, because we have till midnight to file all kind of extensions and press electronic buttons. And so, yeah, electronic filing makes it a little bit easier.
So how was it this year? Was it as compared to other years?
Of course, they came up with a huge regulation January 1st. The Corporate Transparency Act. So if you have a business, you better look into that, because there's a $250,000 fine for not filing that one or two pages.
Ouch.
Yeah. 5 years in jail.
Ouch.
Oh, yeah. Or both.
Or both.
Ouch, ouch.
So if you don't know what that's about, what should they do?
Cry?
No, they should call George Sitari.
That's right. Give us a call.
And what's that number?
6216 216-651-1120.
216-651-1120. It's a shameless self promotion, but that's okay. You're paying for it, so.
But in between, one of the courts ruled that that bill or that regulation is unconstitutional, but it only applies to a sliver of the people that file to say that it's unconstitutional. So it really got murky as to, is it unconstitutional? How far before it gets to the Supreme Court? It'd be a couple of years. So a lot of people are saying, well, you better file because it might not be ruled.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Constitutional, yeah. Smonstitutional. Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Detail, what, detail.
You know, it's a living, breathing document,
that's
right?
That's yeah. Right. So,
but anyways, hey, if you'd like to be on the show, if you would like to be on the show, because our partner Don is not here, but he will be showing up later, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And for those of you that are just going now to get your pen and paper, I'll give you a moment. And then, because I have more important information for you, including this number, that's 888-677-9673. We got a special guest that's going to be calling in. He's been on the show before. His name's John Morrow. Mm-hmm. He is a political strategist, a longtime friend. Helped me, ran my campaign in 2014 when I beat chairman of the Democrat Party, Ohio Democrat Party, Chris Redfern. And he's been involved in a lot of things, and he's been doing a lot of writing lately. And he is part of the group that has proposed disaffiliation of the Blue 22. So I tried to get Jessica France on the show, and she was unable to come on tonight. But I do have an update that what she told me. And also we're going to hear from John. And in just a little bit here, and we're going to hear what he has to say about the state of Ohio. But before we do that, I'd like to point out, and I reached out just to let you know, Matt Mayer, who is president of Opportunity Ohio, I had reached out to him because he wrote a fabulous article just the other day, and it had to do with Ohio. Speak of the devil, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And when he was talking about Ohio, it had, you know, the title is Why Can't Red State Ohio Get Anything Done for Conservatives? And as you go through the article, it's almost like a speech I wrote 2 months ago when I was running for office. I said, you know, we've been a Republican state now since John Kasich, 14 going on 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
But how many of us are really... I mean, we're deep red, but are we really a conservative state? Why can't we get anything done for conservatives? And he breaks it down in this article, and I thought he did an excellent job. So I've reached out to him. I'm hoping that maybe he'll actually call in tonight.
Yeah, interesting, that article. I don't know where it originally appeared. I think it may have been Ohio Star. I don't know where. But I was listening to various talk shows. And they were bringing this up as on national shows like Mike Gallagher.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Bob France was bringing it up, and different people. But it is that is disconcerting. We are such a deep red state that, that means we're deep Republican, not necessarily deep conservative. And we've had the executive offices at the administrative level full of Republicans. We've had huge majorities in the state house and the state senate, I think we have a lot of Democrats who run as Republicans and just, you know, pass some milquetoast legislation, get things done, move the budget along, take care of their cronies, get their political contributions, and things just keep moving along.
Yeah, they're just they're part of the establishment. They're part of the blob or the swamp or the unibrow party or whatever you want to call
it. Sewer,
the sewer. And it really is a sewer because these people are only in it for themselves. One of the quotes out of this article, and I thought it was really good, and it was in the I'll mention that in a minute, but here's the quote. It says, if you didn't know better, you'd swear Ohio was a deep blue state like Illinois and New York, run by leftists instead of a +8 Donald Trump red state.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to agree with that. And it was in the Federalist. That's where I saw
it. Oh, the Federalist. That's right.
Yeah, it was in the Federalist. So, anyways, this is a great article to read because it kind of encapsulates how, you know, we're a Republican state, but we're not a conservative state.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, how come we don't have any Republicans in the Democrat Party? Because it sure seems like they got a whole lot of Democrats in the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And we've had this incident with the Blue 22, where they disavowed a Democratic election for Speaker and put their guy in charge with the help of the Democrat minority party in the Ohio House back in 2023 with Jason Stevens. They elected Jason Stevens over Derek Maron. But now Jason Stevens spent a whole bunch of Republican money against the Republican bylaws of the state party to attack, punish, and berate and slander and all sorts of things. Other fellow Republicans, which is against the bylaw. So what we really have is we've had a coup d'etat in the Ohio House, and we actually have a Democrat majority now. We do not have a Republican supermajority anymore.
Right. Right. Well, we got John Morrow calling in, and he could probably expound on this. Hey, good evening, John, and welcome to Monday Night Roundtable. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very good. Thanks for having me.
All right. Yeah, we had discussed this strategy about 3-4 weeks ago, and we said we'd circle back. And the powers that be in the Republican Party, namely Alex Triantafylou, is dragging his feet and does not want to bring up disaffiliation. First of all, tell us what disaffiliation is.
Disaffiliation is an associational right that parties have been deemed to have by the United States Supreme Court. And that means disaffiliation means that a state party can disaffiliate state candidates and above, and county parties can disaffiliate county-wide candidates and below from their party. And that just means that, you know, they are allowed to say, we do not want to affiliate with this person anymore, and they're no longer able to call themselves a Republican for the purposes of running for office.
Now, this has been voted on by the U.S. Supreme Court?
Yes, yes. The U.S. Supreme Court has many times come back and has said that, you know, a state cannot force a party to associate with a candidate that it does not want to associate with. And at the same time, they have also come back and said that a state party must allow a party to associate with candidates that they want to associate with. And there are some states that do allow the party to pick whether or not they have unaffiliated voters or independent voters vote in their primary. Now, you know, that seems silly to us in Ohio, but there are other states where that is a common practice.
Yeah, that's why that's basically what is that on election day, Democrats can vote in the primary, independents, and it allows crossover voting or whatever you want to call it. But that sort of does make shambles potentially of good party order because you have people sticking their nose in basically your business, and they really are doing it lots of times for nefarious purposes. So
right. Right, correct. And, you know, like Oklahoma, the party, the Republican Party, decides in advance of the primary whether or not they will count independents that vote for Republican candidates or not.
Mm-hmm.
They have what is considered a hybrid or a closed primary system, and the state doesn't tell the party who they can or cannot recognize. The party gets to make that decision. And that's the same thing that a party does in disaffiliation, just on a individual level.
Mm-hmm. Now, we had talked about, again, there's the Blue 22. I believe out of the 22, four of them were term limited. One ran for another seat, so it was down to 17. And then four or five of those lost. So I think the original 22 are down to like 12 or 13. Correct me if
I'm wrong. I believe that is the case. I think there was only eight of them that had primary opponents. So, you know, there was a lot of talk of whether or not they we should disaffiliate all of the Blue 22. And then the argument is made, well, if we do that, there are candidates that had no opponent. And so you're the argument is, well, you're giving that away to the Democrat Party. And I would say, no, that's not true. You can always have that party. You can always have that local party or the parties that are in that district. They can vote to replace that. And if they cannot come to a decision on replacing that candidate with another candidate, then the state party gets to vote in the case that they can't make a decision.
Right. Now, strategically, wouldn't it be good to just go after, again, you know, just saving on resources and time and just maybe going after the four that had primary opposition that, you know, won their races? Because, again, sometimes it's like when you get to the state central committee, it's like herding cats. It's not the easiest thing to do. And, you know, get everybody on the same page. And it's like, oh, I don't want to go after this person because of this and that. Maybe go strategically after three or four, starting with the speaker, perhaps. Although I don't think he had any primary opposition, but
right. I believe that is what they're doing, is that they're focusing now on the speaker primarily, and then secondarily they're looking at eight other candidates potentially. But that's not, when you look at it, we already have a deficit of ethics within the Ohio Republican Party. We have these scandals that are reminiscent of Democrat parties, but they are inside of the supposedly conservative standard bearer for the state, the Republican Party. And unfortunately, every time that we compromise our principles, we're allowing that to keep seeping in. And I think at some point in time, we need to unite around an ideology. And that ideology is that we want our party to be run lawfully, ethically, and morally, and we're not going to compromise on that. Because the moment we compromise is the moment that we allow the ugly head of corruption to rear itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not a good way to run a party. It's no way to build passion for a party, to get people that respect the party again, to get people excited about the party again. Unfortunately, we've had 20, 30 years, and it has done nothing but implode. And I think that the deep dive started happening when John Kasich was elected. And I he ran such an unethical administration that, I think that it just turned a lot of Ohioans off to the party altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, John. So Steve Krause here. Thanks for coming on such a short notice. Who's the holdup right now to get this disaffiliation? Because I've been in contact with Jessica France, and I had asked her to come on tonight, but she was not available. But she did send me an update, and I wonder if you give me just a minute. I'm going to read this to you, but then I want you to answer. Who's the who's the holdup and what do we need to do? And this is what Jessica said. She said, I don't have any updates to share, except I'm still trying to nail down the chairman on whether he is going to honor my request that the disaffiliation discussion be added to the April 26th agenda. For those of you who don't know, next week, April 26th, the Central Committee, State Central Committee for the Republican Party is going to have their first meeting since the March 19th primary, and the new State Central Committee members are going to get sworn in at that time. Now, I'll go on with her message. The deadline to submit the agenda to the committee is tomorrow, which would be 10 days before the meeting. I submitted the disaffiliation resolution to him weeks ago. I followed up with him today in an email and requested a phone call to discuss whether he's going to add it or not. We've got some other issues we're dealing with as well, such as oath that we are now obligated to take. There are several members, including myself, who want to take an alternative oath so that we are not committing ourselves to supporting unlimited abortion following the passage of Issue 1. He is also not responding to us on this issue. Then she said she'll keep me posted. So is it the chairman, Alex Trifanano, or however you say that? Is he the one who's holding everything up?
Well, there is a certain segment of the establishment that's there, and I want to say that's probably 10 to 15 of the members, including Alex Triantafilou, the chairman, that want to hold all of this up. And from what I'm being told, and I haven't been able to confirm this yet, but you have a number of high net worth individuals that give money to the Republican Party. If you want names named, you have a Thomas Raston and a Karen Buchwald Wright, which run the Aerial Corporation down in Mount Vernon, Ohio. You have Abigail and Leslie Wexner. And you have a Clayton Mathiel. He's the owner of Iams dog food, where he sold it off to Procter & Gamble. And these people are billionaires. They get to have the say on how the Republican Party is run. That's one of the reasons why it doesn't reflect what ordinary, everyday Ohioans, Republicans want. And so you look at the Republican Party here in Ohio is very lazy. The State Central Committee was very lazy. And so these high net worth individuals have been able to influence the party so that the committee is just all about getting money from very large investors, big money donors, rather than looking at trying to get the $25 or $50 donation. A party that's working hard is one that's always pushing itself out there, is proud of its accomplishments, is telling you what they do. And the Ohio Republican Party does not do that. It gets all of its money from a handful of people, and these are people that they can help. You know, again, the Ohio Republican Party is a money laundering organization. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We have the treasurer, the former treasurer, David Johnson, tacitly admitting to the money laundering. And we also have former chairman Bob Poduchek admitting to this money laundering. And these are the people that are saying, hey, if you allow this disaffiliation to take hold, to take root and allow it to happen, well, now we are not going to be able to control the party. And guess what? The conservatives that are on the State Central Committee then can shame all the rest of the people to vote for it. And right now we have the most unethical State Central Committee in the nation, where we have let a Democrat-friendly Speaker of the House misappropriate, and when I say misappropriate, I mean steal, as in theft, over $3 million to not support any of the people that are in his district, but to support themselves. This was a self-interest, not in the interest of the Republican Party, not in the interest of the people that are in their district. This was a blatant theft. And if they're not held accountable, guess what? The party becomes even more dependent upon these few rich individuals. And, you know, there's going to be no illusion that the party actually represents the people.
Hey, our special guest is John Morrow, political strategist, a longtime Ohioan and good longtime friend. John, we're going to go to a soft break here in just a moment. Can we hold you over the break for about another 15 minutes?
Certainly.
Okay, great. This is Monday Night Roundtable with George and Steve in the studio talking with John Morrow about disaffiliation and the corruption in the Ohio Republican Party. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hey, Bob France here, and we're in studio once again with Mark King from Keeping Medicare Simple. Mark, are there a lot of bad actors out there breaking the law and making Medicare phone calls?
Unfortunately, we've seen an increase in that activity this year, and that person who is calling you to get you to change your coverage. He or she is not looking out for your best interest necessarily. They are calling you just to make a commission.
Mark, in addition to those illegal phone calls that people are receiving, they're also seeing Joe Namath on TV and a whole bunch of other people. Can we trust them?
Well, Joe Namath is not your friend. If you call that number, you are giving permission to Medicare insurance agents around the country to call you.
Even though most of those agents around the country may not know what the specific limitations are in Ohio.
Right, and that's the great part of dealing with us. We know the local plans.
You know the local plans, you know the local restrictions, and that's why you want to call Mark King instead at 440-832-8936. That's 440-832-8936, or log on to KeepingMedicareSimple.com.
Be afraid. Be very afraid. There are those in Washington who want the IRS to take more of your hard-earned money. Are you tired of being the perpetual cash cow for every scheme, unreasonable program, and for all the fraud, waste, and abuse in our system? Well, good news. I can help. George Sitari has almost 40 years of experience helping people like you keep more of what you make. It makes no sense that the more you make, the more they take. Let George help you keep your money away from the government bureaucratic waste and in your pocket. Call 216-651-1120 right now and schedule your free consultation today. Instead of a victim, you'll be the victor. With many success stories, George helps with tax planning, estate planning, financial and business analysis, and more. The new tax law has many ways to save money with retirement planning, accelerated depreciation, up to 20% exception of net earnings, and so much more. Call 216-651-1120. That's 216-651-1120. You earn it. We'll help you keep it. That's George Sitari, CPA, 216-651-1120.
This is Lisa Woods from Medina County Friends and Neighbors, and I'd like to invite you to our meetings on the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at the Thirsty Cowboy on the corner of I-71 and Route 18 in Medina.
Swamp, fake news, racist hats? Are you afraid to believe anymore? Well, let me tell you of one brave soul who, like David, slew Goliath. The true story of one man's fight against greed, corruption, and insatiable ambition in small-town Ohio, Checkmate reveals why passion and integrity are rare in the corridors of swing state politics. If you want to hear the truth, how the swamp operates in Ohio with all the political corruption in real time, get Steve Krause's tell-all true life story, Checkmate, One Man's Fight Against Political Corruption, available on Amazon. As a newly elected state representative, Steve takes you behind the scenes, behind the closed doors, and rips back the curtain to expose all the lies, the deceit, and power-hungry gamesmanship. Checkmate reads like a TV drama, but it's not.
Once you start it, you won't be able to put it down.
Checkmate, One Man's Fight Against Political Corruption by Steve Krause, available on Amazon today.
that doesn't get your heart pumping, I don't know what will. Back on our second half hour on our first segment on the Monday Night Roundtable, George Sitari in studio with Steve Krause and our special guest John Morrow talking about disaffiliating some of these scurvy, scummy Republicans who most likely are Democrats masquerading as Republicans. So, John, if we disaffiliate them, Steve had mentioned that different people that would be disaffiliated had primary opposition, and those might be a natural fit to take their slot on the ballot. How does that process work exactly?
Well, traditionally, whenever, let's say your candidate has won the primary and they die in office or they say that they can't take the position, It is very customary and it's almost unheard of not to pick who their next biggest vote getter was, because you already know that they've had time, energy, and money invested, and they normally at this point have some name recognition, rather than picking somebody that might be more of an establishment type. It's very hard for them to rationalize that without losing their ability to raise funds. Now, while the state party has the benefit of having all of these large dollar donors, most of our counties don't. We do have some urban counties like Cuyahoga, like Franklin, like Hamilton counties that do have high net worth individuals that support their county parties. But long and short of it, most of the other ones don't. And the way that the voting goes for it is each party gets to cast a vote that's within that district as to who that person is. And so we have far more rural districts than what we have urban or suburban districts. And so you would suspect that most of those people that, Steve had character assassination and the worst things said about them that were not true. Almost all of this was made up. It was done by very unethical people, and that's our Speaker of the House. And so, that's where we look at when you get out of those high net worth individuals' grasp, you tend to see that the people really come through and want their party to be run ethically and morally, and they want it to be representative of all of the Republicans that are in those districts. And so, that's where I think that if they are able to get a vote to disaffiliate these people, there will be a rather hard time to say, no, we are not going to nominate the runner up, the person that placed second in that contest.
Right. And it would be interesting to look at the numbers about 10 or 15 years ago, maybe 20 even, or 25 years ago, how many regular members the party had at 50 or 100 bucks versus today versus big dollar donors. Because what's happened is, let's face it, the rank and file, when they see all this corruption and immorality and unethical behavior, it sort of dampens the enthusiasm for the grassroots movement. They say, oh, heck with it. Maybe we'll work for some local candidates like Steve or go to a Lincoln Day dinner, but we're not going to give our 100, 200 bucks to the party because we just can't trust them. And why throw my money in with these big donors who have either different agendas or different philosophies of governance. And, that would be, I think those stats would be quite compelling to look at.
Well, you can get all the way back to 1996. That's when they first started computerizing them and put them online. And you can download that information from the Secretary of State's office. I didn't do all of the years, but you can see where 60% of all of our donations were $200 and below in 1996. And when you look at it now, it's between 92 and 97%, depending whether or not it's a presidential election year or a gubernatorial election year or an off year. 92 to 97% of all donations come from $1,000 and above. If you're donating $1,000, you, I would say, are a well-to-do individual that is actually looking to influence and have somebody take your call when you call them. Whereas if you're making donations of $200 or less, you're more than likely just an average person that wants to see the right thing done.
I think that's a good assessment. So, John, this speaker, we got special guest John Morrow, a political strategist here in Ohio, longtime friend. This Alex Transofilo, who is the chairman, who seems to be stonewalling Jessica France, should we just go ahead and let our people have his email and phone number and they can call him and contact him and say, hey, we would like to have you put this on the agenda?
I think that that would be great. I don't know at how effective that it will be because he comes from the Cincinnati area, which is a highly corrupt entity in itself. He's not from the Westchester or the Mason, Ohio area. He's from the down and dirty area where almost everyone is corrupt. Now, Alex Triantafilou, which is scary, used to be a judge here in Ohio, and yet, you know, he's running the party unethically, just how Bob Paduchek did, just how Jane Timken did, just how Matt Borges did. And when you look at it, we have a candidate running for Supreme Court named Joe Dieters. Joe Dieters was at one point the treasurer of Ohio. Many people don't know that. Many people don't remember the scandal that I believe it was 2004, whose chief of staff was Matt Borges. Matt Borges helped arrange a pay-per-play scheme, which he was given not a felony, even though it was millions upon millions of dollars in this pay-to-play scheme that they had going on. Dieters had to retire himself very early in his tenure as the treasurer for the state of Ohio. He had to leave. And you don't leave from that statewide position unless you've done something really, really wrong. And Matt Borges, he had a misdemeanor, and that was on his record. And so what did we do with these ethical, unethical people? What did we do with them? Well, we made the pay-for-player, who knows all of the players in the state of Ohio, we had made him chairman, Matt Borges. And now what are we doing? One of the most unethical people in the state of Ohio, Joe Dieters, we are running him for Supreme Court justice. And this is why we have a chairman that is a gutless coward whenever it's calling out immoral or unethical things. And he has already stated, it's online at the Ohio Capital Journal reported on it, that he said, there's no way under my watch that disaffiliation is going to happen. Yet here's a guy underneath his watch that we've got abortion on demand in Ohio, and we also are now have recreational marijuana in Ohio. So where does his priorities lie? Where is his morals at? And what are his ethics? I say he's bereft of ethics, morality, and he is participating in unlawful activity.
Mm. Right. And he's a former judge. Well, that really is that explains his email here, because his email, if you would like to text the chairman of the, I mean, text, call, and or email, Alex Trantafilou. Is that how you say it?
Trantafilou.
Trantafilou. Okay. I'll let you guys do the pronunciation. I will just give you the information. You can call or text him at 513-535-5220. Again, that's 513-535-5220. He is also State Central Committee chair, not only the chairman, but he's a member. I believe his district is Senate 8, Senate District 8. And his email is judgealex@gmail.com. That's judgealext@gmail.com. And I'll do that one more time. judgealext@gmail.com. And you can write him, you can call him, you can text him and just say, Alex, you know, we would really like to have a breath of fresh air of integrity back in the Ohio Republican State Party, and we think that the traitorous, treacherous Blue 22 should be disaffiliated.
Yeah, interesting enough, John, Joe Dieters was appointed to the open seat left by the election of Sharon Kennedy to Chief Justice, and he was appointed by Mike DeWine.
Right, right. I mean, it really is, when you look at it, these incestuous relationships, you're looking at, well, why hasn't the Attorney General Yost stepped forward? Yet Yost, as Attorney General, he oversees all the nonprofits in Ohio, and he has tremendous power to look at any nonprofits that are being bilked by other members, by the chairmen of their boards and everything, whatnot. He is to keep everything for our nonprofits running ethically or morally. Well, I've had discussions with the secretary, the Attorney General's team. And even though the federal government considers a 527 organization, that is what all of our political parties in Ohio, if you're a county political party, if you are a state political party, you are a 527 organization, and they consider them to be political nonprofits. And when you go and you look up on the IRS website, 527, it's right in there with the 500 series of nonprofits where you see 501c3s and 501c4s and whatnot. Well, Ohio is one of the few states where the Attorney General says, no, this is not a nonprofit organization. It is a political party. It has its own definition. And it is hands off for the Attorney General, because when misappropriation occurs, it is primarily the Attorney General that pursues those criminal charges against those people on the board.
Right. So even though, going back to Speaker Jason Stevens, taking the $3 million and spending it against fellow Republicans in the primary, specifically so he could stay in power as Speaker. And it's against the bylaws. You've actually sent me the place where it's all at. I don't have it here in front of me. But so what can be done? I mean, if the Central Committee doesn't disaffiliate these guys, these Republicans, and I guess you could call them rogue Republicans like Jason Stevens, they can just violate the bylaws and get away with it?
Well, what it takes is somebody that has the wherewithal to sue somebody, because then it's a civil litigation, because we don't have anything that will ever be a criminal proposal here. It will always be a civil proposal because the attorney general refuses to get involved, just as Mike DeWine, when he was attorney general, refused to get involved. Yet almost every other state looks at their political parties as nonprofits, and their attorney generals do have standing to bring suit against them in cases of where there's misappropriation, wrongdoing, or they have violated their bylaws. What the party has done is, when you go out and you look, there's Bricker and Eckler. I think they're Brickler Graydon now. They are a very high-priced law firm. They charge hundreds of thousands of dollars to the party, which we have been made aware that the party never pays that, because they're also a lobbying firm and they have influence on our party, which is a whole nother unethical mess. But your chances of winning when you go into court are very small when you have this firm that is, you know, so renowned that you have judges, even Supreme Court judges, that shudder at the thought of ruling against Bricker and Eckler, which, by the way, happens to be a diversity equity organization. They put forth a lot of these liberal ideas of inclusion, diversity, and equity, and really don't put on put forth for any merit for people actually having work or experience or anything like that. And so we have a Democrat firm representing the Republican Party, and even the parliamentarian who Jessica Franz will have to deal with, whose name is Chris Slagle, he is one of the chief lobbyists for Bricker and Graydon, or Bricker and Eckler, as many people know it. And so she has made, have said, you know, hey, you guys are violating the bylaws before, and has tried to shine a light on the party activities. Well, the parliamentarian conveniently always rules in favor of the establishment and keeping the status quo. Even when Jessica has four or five other parliamentarians that have said, no, this guy is not making rulings that are within Robert's Rules of Order, newly revised, that this, you know, goes totally against everything that Robert's Rules stands for. And so, we have where we're coming to ahead, we have bulls in the china shop, which are our conservatives that are in there that are trying to shine a light on everything that's happening. And, you know, your high net worth individuals that have all the influence, because we have a lazy party that doesn't want to raise money or build passion for the party, and they just get it in these big, huge chunks from these rich individuals. They're putting their foot down. They want people like Jessica gone. And they're going to do anything that they can do to remove people like Jessica. And we have about 10 or 15 of those people that are like Jessica that would rather do the right thing than to be bought off or to compromise their principles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our special guest is John Morrow. And John, let's wrap this up, because we're coming to a hard break here in a couple minutes. But just so that our listeners know for sure, April 26, within 10 days starting tomorrow, there's going to be the first State Central Committee meeting. Jessica's trying to get disaffiliation on the agenda. It sounds like it may or may not happen. It actually sounds like it's not going to happen. I know that when the last time we had Jessica on the show, she said she had 19 basically 20 for sure votes. She had 9 probables, yeses. And so we needed 5 more. So we needed 35 votes to disaffiliate. Now, if she can't get the chairman to even bring it up on the 26th, then I guess her next move would be to try to get 35 signatures to call for a special meeting of the State Central Committee for the purpose of disaffiliating the Blue 22. Is that correct?
That's correct. And let me tell you is that from my own calls to the State Central Committee people is that you have some strong committee people and then you have some cowardly Central Committee people. They're afraid. That's not in their nature to be confrontational. And when you look at it, they're like, well, if Alex will allow it to be on there, I am certain that there are 37 votes for it. But we've got 10 of those that are, if Alex twists their arm, they're not going to vote for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're left at, you know, okay, if you don't have a strong fighter for a representative, you know, we're never going to change Ohio. And Ohio, like Matt Maher's article in the Federalist said, is, you know, we're going to continue to deteriorate while the people that are in charge are going to say that, well, it's never been any better in the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Hey, John, we're going to have to let you go with that. I saw that you did some other writing. Is there a place where people can tune in to you and your writings and your Substacks?
I am on Substack. If you go to Substack and you just look for the Republican Reformist or johnmorrow.substack, you'll be able to find me. I am the number one political Substack in the state of Ohio. I have over 50,000 people that see my Substack whenever I publish.
Wow. Well, that's great. Well, John, thank you so much for calling in on such a short notice. We really appreciate all the good work and hard work you've done. And God bless you. And we'll have you back on in a couple of weeks or whenever we can, you know, push this.
Get our arms around all
yeah,
this.
Yeah, put arms around, push this forward.
All right.
All right. Our special guest was John Morrow. Our phone lines have been lighting up, but we're going to save the call till after the hard break. Our number here is 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. You could comment upon what John Morrow said or open it up to any other topic, including taxes, if you have a tax question, since today is April 15th.
It's party day. It's when the government, you have to either file or they come after you.
Yeah, and I was listening to Bob France this morning. And I think he totally mischaracterized taxes. He says he doesn't believe in that concept that taxes are not legalized theft. And, you know, we need taxes for fire and police and things that we like and need. But the problem is he's addressed taxes just like the young people do. It's government. Mm-hmm. No, we have federal, state, city, county, school district, school board, park division. And the question is, you know, is the federal government supposed to fund daycare? Is the local independence city supposed to fund defense? No, it's a structure. It's a form. So we got to get away from that notion of taxes. There's so many different levels and so much constitutionality to them.
Right. You mean the federal government shouldn't be in education?
Nope. All right. Hey, we're going to be back after this heartbreak Monday Night Roundtable. George and Steve in studio will be back after the break.
This program is sponsored by George Sitari CPA and is responsible for its content.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.